So welcome back to the Wingspan Podcast, episode 52. I'm Doug Barak, joined by our special guest. Our guest was the New York State Senator and the Borough President of Brooklyn. We welcome Marty Markowitz to the pod. Thank you for taking your time to join me. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Just too humid, too hot, too humid. That's for sure.
This is very true. So stay hydrated, stay sunscreen, and stay indoors if you can. So let's get it started. And I just want to shout out my co-host, Chris. Unfortunately, he's not able to join us on this episode. He's taking care of some family matters, but I'm, you know, the man for the job. Got that Brooklyn pride, and I'm with the right person to talk to.
You got that Barrack tradition, so don't you worry about it.
So when did your vision of putting Brooklyn on the map first begin?
Well, it probably began when I was a kid. I knew it was a special place, and it is a special place. It's the diversity of communities and populations from all over the world continue to inspire Brooklynites for greatness. I always say it's a place where legends are made and dreams come true, and that's Brooklyn. Whether it was the Brooklyn I grew up in, certainly in the mid to late 40s and 50s and 60s and so on, or whether it's 2020s, Brooklyn, its diverse neighborhoods, and it's really what America represents right here in Brooklyn. If it happens in Brooklyn, it'll happen in America. I knew that we were in a special place. Maybe it was the way we spoke, although we thought that our English pronunciation is the proper English. After all, it's the King's English. After all, Brooklyn is also known as King's County. So we speak the King's English. It's the rest of America that sounds funny. But of course, today the accent of Brooklyn is not the accent that I grew up with. It's a whole different mix of folks, by and large, that live in the borough, but continue to add to the culture, to the excitement, to the unique mix, and yet keeping their own identities that make Brooklyn so very, very special to live in. You live in a big city, and it is still the fourth largest city in America, if it was an independent city, as it was prior to the great mistake of 1898. When we became consolidated with, quote, New York City. And yet you're close enough to get to that other big city, AKA Manhattan. Brooklyn continues to be the most inner borough of all the five boroughs because, as your dad always heard me say, in order to leave Brooklyn, you have to go through another borough to leave New York City. Whereas all the other boroughs, you can leave directly from the borough out of New York City. Only Brooklyn, you have to go through another borough. So that means that we are the most inner borough of New York City.
We're the heart of all the boroughs. We are the heart and soul, and Brooklynites have this kind of pride. And when you said the accent, it's funny. Most people don't even think I have a Brooklyn accent. I probably don't, but I do say, you know, my water, my coffee, and all those other bits and pieces. But jumping into it, what were some of your favorite...
We drop the R. We don't say water. We say water. And then we say our mother, not mother. So, yes, we have. But we're pronouncing it the right way.
I'm fine with that. I won't argue with you there. So what were some of your favorite projects to work on as borough president other than Barclay Center, which we'll talk about later?
Well, of course, coming into the borough presidency, I already had years of experience as a state senator. But a significant amount of my time was spent on how could I not only serve those that elected me legislatively and helping them with community issues or personal issues, but also navigate government, but also to bring joy and happiness to them. I was coming home a day in January of 1979, my very first month as state senator, and I was driving to a meeting, and I went right past Midwood Field on Avenue K and L and East 16th Street. And so help me, at that very moment, it came to me, why not do some free concerts at this football field? And from that... I think of all the things that I did as state senator and perhaps as borough president as well. Nothing made me feel better than to see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people sitting back, forgetting the troubles that their everyday life poses to them, and to sit back and just have pure joy. So the concerts was certainly a big part of my the love that I had for my constituents and for all of New York. But certainly there are other projects, whether it was celebrating marriages that were 50 or more years, whether it was celebrating Chinese New Year's. But the reason why I celebrated is not only recognizing the large Chinese American population, but also to celebrate all ethnics in this beautiful space that we call the city of Brooklyn. And certainly there were other projects that that I was very much involved in, whether it was for the LGBT community, whether it was the celebration of various ethnic groups that continue to make Brooklyn a vital part of their identity and their contributions to making Brooklyn the sizzling, exciting place that it is. And I can go on and on with the projects that I organized. And it's what made the job of borough president fulfilling. You know, the position of borough president of any borough was a modest one these days. There was a time, your dad worked for one, my predecessor, who during a period of time, the borough presidents really had significant power within the city government and budget. But that changed over the years, certainly after charter revision. So what I tried to do is to make the job of borough president relevant in the lives of just about every Brooklynite. And I think, by and large, I think that happened. And I hope it will continue to happen under whoever becomes the new borough president as we move forward.
Yeah, we'll learn relatively soon. Yes. And you have quite a list of achievements. King's Theater, Seaside Amphitheater, Lighting Up the Parachute.
Right, those are different projects. Now, if we want to get to projects, certainly the parachute jump. I must tell you, as a boy, I never went on the ride because
I can't fathom.
I don't like the heights there, and I don't like the cyclone, so that's not my thing. But I did try my first year or so to see whether or not the parachute jump, rather than just sitting there as a relic that was aging and had little meaning except for people my age and older, I wanted to bring it to life back again as a ride. And we actually brought in a company from West Germany, at that time, West Germany, who specialized in parachute jump renovations, believe it or not. The cost of it would have been enormous. It probably, I am sure, the New York Post and Daily News would have chased me out of Brooklyn if I had spent taxpayer money, the amount of money that it would require. And then when they did the math, what the cost of the ride would be for a family, it would be beyond the reach because of litigation and liability and all the kinds of insurances. The ride would have been $100 a pop. So it became unrealistic. So then I said, why not make it the Eiffel Tower of Brooklyn?
Oh, I like that.
Has their Empire State Building, Paris has the real thing. Let's make this our Eiffel Tower. And sure enough, after a number of years, on the second attempt, they got it right. And I'm very proud of that. It's really the beacon of hope. And I think it's the excitement of Brooklyn. It heralds the excitement of Brooklyn. It's stunning.
Yeah, it definitely encapsulates that experience when you go to a Cyclones game at night, and not just when you get those Friday night fireworks, you see it all lit up and, you know, it brings joy, all that color and, you know, warm hope. And as you said, kind of the heart and spirit.
And messages, happy new year, merry whatever, happy whatever. So it's a real unique structure for all of Brooklyn. And then certainly the King's Theater. When I was a state senator way back in 1979, 80, I had pledged to the folks of Flatbush that that if I was elected state senator, I would work on the King's Theater, Lowe's Kings. Though we said Lowe's, but it's Lowe's, but Lowe's Kings, that I knew the theater all my life, of course, and I'm young enough to remember before we had air conditioning in our homes or apartments, we used to run to the theater for air cooled during the summer or stand by the door so we can feel it. Those days, by the way, Doug, they used to give glassware and silverware and dinnerware. When you bought a ticket, you got a piece of dinnerware or a glass.
Were you able to bring it home?
Even right, of course, to bring it home. I know, well, we're going back a few years now.
I had some relatives who got from the bank free chairs and stuff. I get it.
but we had promised, and unfortunately, whether it was through a succession of mayors, we just were not able to get it done. The building was almost condemned. Giuliani, in fact, wanted to have the building demolished and to put a mall in its place over there for the vitality of Flappish Avenue corridor shopping area. But luckily, we were able to defer that. And finally, because as a senator, Doug, I was a Democrat, and I'm proud of it, but the Republicans always ran the Senate, always, until just relatively a few years ago. And in those days, as a minority senator, you couldn't get a penny. All the money went to the Republican majority or the Democratic majority in the assembly. And so when I became borough president, I finally had capital funds that I could then allocate. And that's when the process began to restore the Lowe's Kings, the Lowe's Kings, into the King's Theater. And today, there's no question that as we move ahead, I know that the theater will continue to be a vital entertainment venue for all of New York. It's already part there, but I really do think it will be even stronger in the years ahead.
No, definitely.
And then, of course, there were other projects, the Ford Amphitheater. Now, that was the wrap-up project. And your dad can tell you the troubles and challenges we went through because I had hoped that it would be at Assalevi Seaside Park, which was where I did the free concerts in Coney Island from 1991 on. Unfortunately, a significant portion of the community felt that it would be the end of the world if we renovated the park there and provided an entertainment venue, which would be open just during the summer season. It wasn't a year-round thing. It was just for the summer season. But now if you go to that Assalevi Seaside Park, it just stands there with no use, decrepit, dilapidated. It's a shame that a resource like that is, but whatever. We were almost kaput. There was no place to go. We had the resources, but we had no place to go, to place. And then luckily, Martin Cottingham and others, especially Marty Cottingham, came to me and had an idea about a property and the developer or whatever. It fell in. And of course, the amphitheater is still a work in process. It is not open this year. As many venues are still not able to open for this season, but I'm confident that in the seasons to come, of the best days of the amphitheater, Coney Island Amphitheater, will be realized when they find that right balance of entertainment and a mix that appeals to Brooklynites and way beyond. So I know we're going to get there, right, because it's a great resource and in a vital part of America. Both yesterday and today and tomorrow, and that's Coney Island. So those are just a few of the projects that I'm doing.
Yeah. And one that I really wanted to bring up are the Brooklyn Signs. Come on, to me, one of the pride and joys of the borough. It's so simple, but it has so many powerful meanings behind it. So what would, just to quickly ask, what would you say is your most favorite of the signs, if you can pick one?
Well, I guess it would be probably leaving Brooklyn, forget about it. In other words, originally the signs were just welcome to Brooklyn. And then I said, I want to say something about leaving Brooklyn. And of course, the Honeymooners was really all about Brooklyn to a degree and Brooklyn characters in its time. And Jackie Gleason would always use the term, forget about it. And it became part of the language of Brooklyn in those days. And so that was the sign that was stolen a number of times. Even though they were highway signs, help me, they were stolen. People would cut the sign down. I don't know what garages or basements they're in, but it happened a couple times, I believe. But actually, one of my favorite signs was after I put up the forget about it sign, I got a phone call from an irate man.
I think I read about this in some article.
Yes, an Italian-American. So help me, got very mad and said, how dare you, Mr. Markowitz? How can you do this? This is anti-Italian. This, forget about it. It's despicable. It's disgusting. It puts our people, I said, I don't know what he was talking about, because on the Honeymooners, there were no Italians depicted. It were that they were Irish or German, but they weren't Italian. It had nothing to do with Italian. It was an expression of Brooklynese. Forget about it. So I said to him, and I explained it as I explained to you, the Honeymooners, whatever. And then he said to me, Mr. Markowitz, you're a Jew, aren't you? I said, that's a good guess for sure. He said, how would you like it if you had a sign, Levy Brooklyn, Oy Vey? I was on the phone, Doug, so help me. I looked at that phone. I said, wow, why didn't I think of that? That's how it happened.
Sign.
I said, thank you very much. And I put the phone down, and within a month or two, that sign was up on the Williamsburg. And I must tell you, probably the forget about it and the Oy Vey are probably the two most popular signs. And Eric Adams, my successor, continued to keep those signs on the highways. And I'm very appreciative that he did that.
Yeah, no, I think Oy Vey is perfect. I mean, that's how I feel when I'm leaving my home. You know, this is, as some of the other signs say, the heart of America. Believe the hype, not just the Berwyn experience. How sweet it is might be one of my favorites as well.
Oh, that's another one. Oh, I forgot about how sweet it is, of course. That's, again, Honeymooners. And then, of course, Brooklyn in the House. Welcome, Brooklyn's in the House. And that's another sign on the Interborough. So I had a lot of fun trying to figure out the signs, and as my third term wound down, I was trying to think of something that we can do for the Latino population. I couldn't come up with the right, you know, word or several words that would, but I'll leave that to future borough presidents if they're interested.
No, of course.
You know what it's all about, Doug? It's about branding Brooklyn. I mean, that's why I did it. A, to put a smile on your face. And the other part was that when you came into Brooklyn, you saw a sign. It didn't just say, welcome to Brooklyn. You know, I wanted it. My predecessor, Howard Galton, had welcome to Brooklyn, the fourth largest city. And I understand that was welcome back Cotta, and I understand that completely. But I wanted something snappy, and I think we came up with it.
Yeah, no, definitely. The inclusion of a lot of people of Brooklyn is kind of like what we're about as a borough. So I think, you know, hopefully we get signs that represent everyone one way or form and some positive and joyous occasion. But speaking of keeping with the joys, so growing up, you lived not too far from Ebbets Field. So how much of the Brooklyn Dodgers legacy inspired you to bring a major league team like the New Jersey Nets to the borough?
Well, it totally inspired me. There's no question. First off, I, on a personal level, Doug, I'm not into sports at all, just about. I was into baseball tremendously. And when the Brooklyn Dodgers broke our heart and relocated to La La Land, when they did that, that really wrapped up my interest in Major League Baseball. Sure, the Mets became the team that I would root for. Anyone other than the Yankees. And I still feel that same way, even though the Yankees are different than they were back in the day. But the only reason I support the Yankees is that we need the tax revenues. And if the Yankees were in competition for the World Series against any team other than the Mets, then I would support the Yankees because it's good for New York City. But beyond that, there's no passion in me for them at all. At least I'm talking from an older head now.
Yeah, not totally.
But I wasn't. So the sports is not the thing. What I do know is that religion and family, sports, these are some of the things that bring us together as New Yorkers, as Americans, and as Brooklynites. And we were lacking in Brooklyn, having, even though we had the Cyclones, which we still have, they're a fantastic minor league team, but it's not Major League. And I wanted to see Brooklyn across America. So I must tell you, one of the first things I did was call Mr. O'Malley, who was the son of the Walter O'Malley, who moved the Dodgers from Brooklyn to La La Land. And I called him because I still had dreams. Believe it or not, even in 2002, I still had dreams my first year as borough president that maybe the Dodgers were unhappy in L.A. There had been some ownership challenges out there, if you remember. And I said, this is an opportunity, maybe. So I actually called Mr. O'Malley in a very brief conversation. I can almost remember, almost like yesterday. And I got through to him, actually, and the borough president, new borough president, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, listen, there's an opportunity. I've been reading in the paper. Is there any chance that maybe to redeem the O'Malley name that you would help in possibly relocating the team back to Brooklyn? Well, anyway, as fast as you just winked at me, that's how quick the conversation ended. But I also had to get it out of my system. The truth of the matter is, and I think your dad would be, we don't have room in Brooklyn for a 75,000 seat stadium and the parking that would be necessary. Yeah. We just don't. That's not happening. And also, I don't really think New York City would be able to support three Major League Baseball teams. And the reason why I say that is that there are so many other sports it just wouldn't work in Brooklyn of 2002 and 2003 and 2004 and going today. So I knew that basketball is the sport of Brooklyn in many ways, cutting across all the ethnic groups. There's no question that the basketball, and it requires a smaller space as compared to a stadium. So now the next question is where, who? And it obviously, it became very obvious quickly that the New Jersey Nets were struggling in New Jersey. They weren't filling their arena. They were having ownership issues, challenges. And so that is where I focused my efforts. And the rest, of course, is history. Let me tell you, it was a very difficult, contentious struggle. As you probably know, it almost didn't happen many, many times. And we're very fortunate that Bruce Ratner, a man from Cleveland that relocated his business and started his business in Brooklyn, who lived in Manhattan and who was not really into sports at all, took an interest after being badgered and threatened and challenged, went through a financial downturn in this country in 2008, 9, whatever, 10. That through it all, he was resilient enough, brilliant enough, to be able to make this happen for Brooklyn. And that folks like Mayor Bloomberg and certainly the governor were able to be supportive to help make this dream a reality. And by the way, it's not just the Nets, which is a big thing in itself, having a national team in Brooklyn. But it's also a entertainment venue, employment opportunities, the vitality that what occurred. We could see what happened there. It's vital revitalization that happened. And eventually the promise of the housing, which has been delayed, you know, very often, economics, management, ownership changes, but we'll get there. And it'll be. And it already is. You can see during the Black Lives Matter protests that Barclays and the plaza.
Truly the heart of the city.
really became a city center. And I think it will continue to be, and that's a good thing for Brooklyn and all of New York City. So I'm very excited. That project, that I think, is just a real dramatic, positive impact.
Yeah, no, definitely.
For Brooklyn and all of New York.
Mm-hmm. Hoops, entertainment, advocacy, it is truly the heart of Brooklyn, and it's amazing. And, you know, that's definitely a legacy project for sure. So how did you celebrate once Cousin Brucey, as I've heard you call him, you know, got it to, you know, confirm the move?
Well, I was at a restaurant on Fifth Avenue. I don't think they're open anymore. Fifth and Second, if I'm not mistaken. And I was waiting for the call. In fact, the first call, I think, came from Bloomberg, actually. And the second call came from Bruce, or could have been the other way. But of course, I went, you know, I think I had, I you know, certainly had, I am sure, a bottle of wine. But I must tell you that it was difficult days that people, residents that I wanted to make happy, some I made hostile. That's the best way to put it. So there were places that I went to that applauded me. And there were other places that would curse the hell out of me, threaten me, actually. So it was a mixed bag of feelings in and around the area of Barclays, Park Slope. And but as you got out of the immediate area, the support for the project was immense. And it shows you, number one, that New York City's got to be capable of doing big things in the future. We can't stagnate. We have to do big things. We have to be respectful, of course, of people's property and traffic and all sorts of things we have to obviously be concerned with. But at the same time, we have to balance that with an ever-changing city and trying to make things better and to provide more opportunities for people to have a livelihood and to bring enjoyment to folks. And I think that's all part of the experience of the big city.
No, I completely agree. You know, some of my biggest pinpoints for the city is transportation, affordable housing are kind of like some of the big factors for me. And it's extremely expensive, you know, neighborhoods like Red Hook and, you know, over by Kings Plaza Mall. Like, it's hard. Your train doesn't go there. And sometimes the bus, you know, not always reliable. But anyways,
I would argue, Doug, that a lot of people in those neighborhoods don't want the public transportation coming there either. So whatever the issues are, that gives you a little suburban feeling. These neighborhoods near Kings Plaza or Mill Basin or Bergen Beach, these are neighborhoods that are still vital and part of Brooklyn city life, and yet they have a little slower lifestyle in terms of a little more suburban style, Brooklyn style suburban. And so there's got to be room for, you know, people to have homes on their waterfronts right here in Brooklyn. I mean, people, all they think about is that we're concrete, but actually the architectural diversity of this borough is truly unbelievable. Whether you go to Greenpoint all the way to Manhattan,
it's a smorgasbord.
It's so whatever your lifestyle is, and by the way, there are still areas of Brooklyn that are relatively affordable in terms of home ownership. But of course, you have to have that ability. Listen, I didn't become a homeowner until 2010, the end of 2009. I've been a tenant. I was a tenant, public housing, and then private, you know, residential apartment building all my life. So, but there is that opportunity in Brooklyn. And I'm convinced that although we're going through some challenging times right now, certainly pandemic driven to a large degree, I know that there'll always be folks out there that don't want to live. Like I had a wedding this past weekend in Annapolis, a beautiful little city. And my brother-in-law lives outside of Annapolis. You could see a few houses here and there. It's like I'm isolated there. There's no... for me, it's too quiet. I need the seeing the people on the street. I need, so you know, we all have our different choices. And
of course,
people that want the excitement of New York always wanted. What they like to do is complain and celebrate. That's it. This is what we are. This is what we don't like. It's too hot now, then it's too cold, and this is what it is.
That's very true. So bringing it back, so we're coming up on the 10th season since the Nets moved to Brooklyn. We talked about it a little bit, but how impressed have you been with the Barclays Center and the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, I'm very impressed with Barclays Center, and I've not yet met the new owner. I must tell you, strange thing, Doug, all the people, pretty much, that were part of the original Barclays, they're all gone. When I say gone, they're no longer in the business at all. And this is the third owner, actually, of Barclays now.
Yeah.
And the third owner of the Brooklyn Nets. And I haven't met this gentleman yet. And I look forward to meeting him. I really do in the near future, I hope. So Barclays is certainly everything I had hoped for and more. In terms of the team, I think we still have work to do. For instance, when the Islanders played in Brooklyn, they had no interest in Brooklyn whatsoever because they are truly a suburban team. They wanted to go back to Long Island. Their fan base overwhelmingly was Long Island. In New York City and in Brooklyn, let's face it, Brooklyn was Knicks fans as much as Manhattan or any other place in New York City. And it has taken years, and it will take a number of years and it's already happening, growing our own fan base where they're Brooklyn Nets fans, and then maybe they'll root for the Knicks, the Manhattan Knicks, as I call them. What's missing, I think, is a personality with the team. In other words, where I don't know if that still works anymore, but somebody who Brooklynites look at and think the Nets, and this person who brings about the excitement of going to a Nets game, seeing him or her there, or something that's, you know, it's got that special Brooklyn attitude that comes in with the Nets. And you know, I know that there are corporate owners of the Nets, but you also need a personality or personalities. And I'm hoping in the days ahead that they find those younger people out there, you know, that can rally the borough and get them totally supportive, whether they're at the game or whether or not the Nets are in the hunt for the NBA championship. Because, for instance, with the Brooklyn Dodgers, win or lose, every game was a World Series to us. You know, it's hard for me to explain. If they lost, we were depressed. If they won, we were thrilled. And remembering that day in 1955, October, when we finally beat the dreaded Yankees, when we finally beat them after they beat us for years in the pennant, in the World Series, many times, when we finally beat them, everything stopped for 2 weeks in Brooklyn. I don't know how to describe it to you. It was another day. 1955 is a long time ago. But I must tell you, the world stopped for 2 weeks. And everyone was hot, kissing and hugging, and work stopped, everything stopped. And I don't think that would happen today, but that excitement for 2022, let's hope. I hope that comes to Brooklyn, because it brings us together, and we're all rooting together. That's what I hope to see in the days ahead.
I definitely think we're getting close, because one team I should have also included that recently joined Barclays Center, and by the size ownership of Joe and Claire Tsai, they also brought the New York Liberty, and their young team on the hunt. They're growing in the right direction, you know, from like two wins, and they're already double the input. So they have Sabrina Ionescu and Bonai Jelani as some of their two big stars. So they're trending in the right direction. With the Nets, you know, they have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Who would have thought, because, you know, it wasn't too long ago where they mortgaged their future and then decided to cheapen up a little bit, and, you know, we're in some kind of purgatory.
Well, so the question is, now I like I said, I am no specialist in this, but it seems to me that a team can win that don't have those marquee names, that it all depends upon the hunger, it also, and skills, of course, but it also depends upon the health. You know that as well as I do.
Of course.
And so there's so many intangibles in this, but I'm confident that we're going to have a NBA championship, not one, many, all good. But to me, all indications are that the future of Brooklyn is very, very bright. And certainly starting January 1, we'll have a new mayor. Incidentally, if everything goes the way it seems to go, I think, Doug, for the first time in the history of New York City, all three citywide top office holders in New York City will be Brooklynites. Is that amazing? Eric Adams, Brooklyn. Brad Lander, Brooklyn. Jumaane Williams, Brooklyn. And if Eric had not made it, let's say Catherine Garcia, Brooklyn. Maya Wiley, Brooklyn. So you know what? We're winners. Brooklyn wins. And if Brooklyn wins, New York City wins.
That's how true. We are.
It is.
Well, we are the heart of the city. And so my last portion, we kind of mentioned this before, you know, unfortunately, due to injuries, the Nets weren't able to crown Kings County with the championship this season. But we fully expect to court the Larry O'Brien Trophy next year. So you kind of mentioned it before, but how much would a championship mean to you? And where would you anticipate the parade would be? Because theoretically, it could even be next year.
It could be next year. And by the way, as a young boy, we always said the same thing after the Dodgers either didn't win the pennant or many times won the pennant but lost the World Series, we'd say, wait till next year. And that's what we're saying, wait till next year. Where would the parade be? Could be down Court Street. It would make sense down Court Street. Maybe down Flappish Avenue. I think we have a couple venues.
Someone said Grand Army Plaza, back to where it began, outside Borough Hall.
Oh, yeah, well, Borough Hall, I mean, Court Street, sure. So, I mean, that's where in 55. They had a tremendous gathering to celebrate the Brooklyn Dodgers winning the World Series. So I'll tell you what, let's get to it first. We got plenty of venues to choose from. I want to be involved in the planning on that.
Ooh, the party planning.
I'm ready to go.
That would be an amazing legacy project to add on to. Well, one thing I got to say is thank you, one, for joining us. And thank you because it wasn't for you, you know, twisting Cousin Brucey's arm to get the Nets to Brooklyn. I don't know what fan I would be. I might have been a Knicks fan. So because prior to that, I didn't really watch sports. My dad has been a fan since the ABA days. But I was busy with my video games and cartoons. So, you know, my dad, we're much closer thanks to what you did in Brooklyn. I truly mean that. You know, Nets moved to Brooklyn. I'm a super fan, as people say. So hopefully we'll catch you at a game sometime soon. Hopefully you'll get in touch with the size and get to be part of their party planning committee.
Thanks especially to Bruce Ratner because he really deserves the kudos. Lots of people. I was a little part. I was the instigator. But lots of people
being modest
deserve that. Believe me, and I love it. Just love it. Yeah, the best is yet to come, as we say.
That is true. Well, thank you again, Mr. Brooklyn. I think that is your legacy name, whether you're too humble to admit it or not. Just got a nod with it.
Yeah. He's too thin. but thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So thank you again for putting Brooklyn on the map.
Thank you, Richie.
And Chris and I, although he's not here, really appreciate you taking your day to talk to us, even though he is not here, but he'll obviously catch the episode. So thank you again for joining us. And
be in good health. Be in good health.
So to our listeners, remember to send over questions, comments, suggestions, or any thoughts to wingspanpodcast@gmail.com. Do not forget to follow us on social media. Make sure to follow us on our podcast, on YouTube, listening service, all that. And as for next time, stay classy, take care, and please get vaccinated so we can get back to what's best. Thank you so much.